Radio Prague News.
The leader of the Social Democrats has said that Foreign Minister Petříček's sacking could result in the fall of government. Labour inspectors said they will focus on equal conditions for Czech and foreign workers, and a representative of a Roma-helping NGO may be, in fact, a racist. Jan Hamáček, the leader of the Social Democrats, a junior partner in the minority government, told Czech radio that if the Prime Minister were to sack Foreign Minister Tomáš Petříček, it could lead to the fall of the government. Since assuming office in October 2018, Mr. Petříček's foreign policy has come under criticism from President Miloš Zeman and the Communist Party, which is supporting the current minority government. The leader of the Social Democrats said that removing Mr. Petříček from office could only be done following a proposal by his party, and that any other move would be in violation of the coalition treaty. It is not the first time the current foreign minister has received support from his own party. In November, the Social Democrats responded to criticism regarding his stance on the conflict in Ukraine by saying that he's fulfilling the long-term concept of Czech foreign policy. The Labour Inspection Office said it will crack down on foreign worker discrimination, the daily Hospodářské noviny reports. Currently, there are great disparities between Czech and migrant workers in areas such as salaries, working hours and holiday periods. The primary task is to ensure employers respect the EU employment law. With low unemployment rates in the country, the number of foreign workers has been growing steadily in recent years, reaching 5% of the population in June 2018. Many find work through so-called employment agencies, which act as intermediaries, and labour inspectors say they will also be one of the targets of the investigation. Data from previous years shows that especially among construction companies, there is a large number of workers who lack work permits. After 8 attempts, a new amendment to the controversial electronic cash register law, known as EET in the Czech Republic, has passed its first hearing in the Chamber of Deputies. The amendment extends electronic cash register obligations to artisans and other groups of tradesmen. The Chamber's Budget Committee will now review the law before it is submitted back to the Chamber for a second hearing. The law has been a subject of much criticism from opposition parties since it was introduced in 2016, when Andrej Babiš was finance minister. He justified its creation on the basis of cracking down on tax avoidance. The first match launching the 2019-2020 NHL season is set to take place this October in Prague's O2 Arena, Hospodářské noviny reports, which quoted two sources. The news confirms last year's statement by NHL Commissioner Gary Bettman that Prague could be the venue where the world's first ice hockey league launches its next season. The inaugural game will take place in the first week of October, with Philadelphia Flyers expected to be one of the teams that visitors can look forward to see. Official confirmation is expected to come in March after Czech and NHL representatives meet. If the news is confirmed, it will be the first time since 2010 that the Central European country hosts the inaugural games of the world's elite ice hockey league. The Czech Statistics Office has reported a five-month high in year-on-year inflation growth, which reached 2.5% in January. Housing costs, as well as alcohol and tobacco prices, experienced a particularly high surge. The highest increase is noticeable in electricity prices, however, which went up by 8.2%. Meanwhile, food supplies experienced the biggest decrease in costs, with sugar prices down by almost a third. However, foodstuffs are soon to be expected to increase as well. Analysts expect inflation rates to continue to rise up to 2.7% in the coming months. However, they expect the economy's lower growth predictions in 2019 will eventually slow down inflation as well. Many in the Czech Republic are currently gripped by the sitcom Most, which is broadcast by Czech television. The main hero of the show, who is an open racist, also heads one of the city's leading NGOs supporting the local Roma through state funds. Now a report by Czech radio has revealed that this may in fact be a reality as well. Pavel Pešel from a Most-based NGO called Chonoro ran for office in local elections for a party which featured a slogan saying that not even exterminating agents are enough for this vermin. Mr. Pošel became Chonoro's statutory representative just a month ahead of the elections. He is involved in social counselling in areas including the notorious Roma ghetto of Chanov in Most. He claims that the accusation is nothing more than a twisted story from the media. However, the leader of the party that had Mr. Pushel on their candidate list explained the slogan in similar racist terms already ahead of the elections. And as far as weather is concerned, temperatures are set to hover between 7 to 11 degrees Celsius on Thursday. In Bohemia, it will be sunny, with clouds appearing in the east of the country and rain expected to continue in Silesia. On Friday, the weather should be even warmer, with temperatures reaching as high as 12 degrees. That is all the news for now, but it is not quite goodbye from me, Tom McEnroe, yet, as I will also be presenting The Daily Show. Hello and welcome to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech Radio. Coming up in today's programme, Czech Cardinal Dominik Duka has agreed to meet victims of sexual abuse by priests in the country, a new media freedom watchdog has been established, and later we will take a closer look at CyberDog, Europe's first robotic wine bar designed by artist David Černý. All that coming up, so please stay with us. Pope Francis this month publicly acknowledged the scandal of priests and bishops sexually abusing nuns and has vowed to do more to fight the problem. The issue came to the fore amid the Catholic Church's overall reckoning with the sexual abuse of minors. Here in the Czech Republic, Cardinal Dominik Duka, who in the past has characterised such scandals as attacks on the Church, has now agreed under pressure to meet some of the victims face to face. Brian Kennedy looked into the story.
Unlike elsewhere in Europe, the Catholic Church in the Czech Republic has faced relatively few scandals involving the sexual abuse of minors or nuns by priests. But as is the case worldwide, many are never reported or become public knowledge. Petra Panska, a former nun, is among 17 people, including victims, who have signed on to a letter to Cardinal Dominik Duka asking him to meet in person with those abused by clergymen. After years of silence, she told Czech Radio, she began speaking out about her own repeated abuse by a Catholic priest, since convicted of multiple counts of rape.
In my case, I experienced post-traumatic stress disorder, a multiple personality disorder, and a depressive disorder also developed. Again and again in my mind, I intensively relive these traumatic events.
Cardinal Duka has tended to downplay the problem, claiming that only 10% of accusations against priests are ever proven, which does not mean they did not occur. In 2010, when still Archbishop of Prague, he spoke of sexual abuse by the clergy as abominable, but also said it was overreported, part of a wider media campaign against the Catholic Church and the Pope. It was for taking such a stance on the issue that the U.S.-based Survivors Network of Those Abused by Priests, or SNAP, included Cardinal Duka on its Dirty Dozen list of those deemed unfit to ever become pope. This due to their role, according to SNAP, in protecting pedophile priests and making public statements offensive to their victims. The letter challenging Cardinal Duka to meet face-to-face with victims was initiated by documentary filmmaker Michal Stingel. He says it stems from the frustration of signatories, all practicing Catholics, with the Church's reluctance to address the issue in open discussion.
I have repeatedly tried to meet with both the archbishopric's representatives and with the heads of the diocese where cases have occurred. There was virtually no reaction anywhere. The vast majority are simply not willing to talk about it.
Stanislav Zeman, spokesman for the Prague Archbishopric, said Cardinal Duka has received a letter and met in person already with some victims and their families, but this upon the advice of psychologists, he has done so discreetly. Mr. Zeman says that since 1990, there have been 10 recorded cases of abuse by a priest or church official here.
And that was Brian Kennedy with that report. Now, the Czech Republic has a new media freedom watchdog. A number of leading journalists this week established a Czech branch of the International Press Institute, a global network of editors, media executives, and leading journalists set up to protect press freedom and support independent journalism wherever it is under threat. Danielle Lazareva has more.
The International Press Institute was set up in 1950 by 34 leading journalists from 16 countries. Since then, it has defended journalists and press freedom wherever it is threatened. After the fall of communism in 1989, IPI helped develop independent media in the Czech Republic, and a number of the country's top journalists became IPI members. Now they have set up a branch of IPI here in the Czech Republic with the aim of addressing controversial issues relating to media freedom and supporting independent journalism. Czech Radio's Veronika Sedláčková is one of the organization's co-founders. She says there is plenty for the organization to do in this country.
We see in the Czech Republic today an unprecedented conflict of interest stemming from the fact that the Prime Minister, Andrej Babiš, bought the Mafra publishing house in 2013. He has been forced to put it into a trust fund and denies influencing journalists in any way, but we have seen the content of those publications change. I think the fear of oligarchs undermining press freedom is valid in this country, and there's every reason to defend and fight for journalists who are producing independent, quality journalism.
The founders of IPI Czech Republic are now addressing other respected journalists with offers of membership in the organization. Veronika Sedláčková says their goal is not just to defend press freedom, but to support quality journalism in every way possible.
What we want is for our members to follow what's happening on the Czech media scene and be available to any journalist who might be in need of help or advice. We should also help to define the concept of quality and independent journalism. I think this is particularly important in view of the strong Russian propaganda in this country, when many people are finding it increasingly difficult to distinguish between fake news and reliable information. So there is plenty of work for us here. We are at the very outset.
In addition to the changing structure of ownership in the media, when foreign investors were gradually replaced by Czech ones who frequently use the media for their own ends, there is the problem of increasing disrespect shown by some Czech politicians to journalists. In his time, President Václav Klaus called journalists the worst enemies of mankind, while the present head of state, President Zeman, has compared the media to an organized crime ring. Further proof of the fact that independent journalism is facing problems in this country is the Czech Republic's rating on the Reporters Without Borders Press Freedom Index, where the country slid 11 places down last year.
And that was Daniela Lazareva ending that report. Just a reminder that you are listening to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech Radio, where it's now time for our main feature of the day. This week's panorama is presented by Brian Kennedy, who went to get a couple of drinks at Cyberdog, Europe's first robotic wine bar designed by artist David Černý.
You could be forgiven for mistaking the Cyberdog Technology and Information Center on the outskirts of Prague for a wine bar, the futuristic two-story structure housing it for a building, and the resident bartender, Kuka, for a hermaphrodite robot. Such is the nature of the first project to be realized by the Black and Arc Studio, co-founded by artist and sculptor David Černý.
Okay, so, can we, do you want to go upstairs or downstairs?
As you like.
Few would associate Nové Budějovice with the avant-garde, yet this Prague 13 neighborhood, home to some of the last drab concrete housing estates to be built under communism, and more than its fair share of glass and steel behemoths to arise under capitalism, is the site of a groundbreaking project mixing robotics with mixology. David Černý, who first came into the public eye in 1991 after being arrested for painting a Soviet tank pink, is perhaps best known today for his giant babies on the Žižkov TV tower. He explains how Cyberdog came into being. Spoiler alert, there was alcohol involved. Also, listener discretion is advised. The artist is not one for censorship, linguistic or otherwise.
I was asked by the owner of Trigema company, about, well, now it's going to be like three, maybe almost 4 years ago, and he asked me if I would be willing to do a piece here for the square, and he said, Nové Butovice, which I did not have a fucking clue. I know that it's somewhere north from where I work in Smíchov, but no any other idea. And then I came here and I did not like the space.
But while David Czerny has not grown to love Nowe Butowice, he did create a kinetic sculpture for the pedestrian zone outside its eponymous metro station. Called 3 Foot, the 12-meter-tall structure is modeled on vintage cameras. It features giant swiveling eyeballs in place of lenses, which track passers-by and, without their consent, projects images on one of half a dozen monitors nearby. 3 Foot is a wry commentary on surveillance and privacy in the 21st century, an homage to observational photography, and the first part in the story of Cyberdog, actually a two-story structure with a robotic workstation in its belly and a projection screen wall for a face that switches from transparent to translucent.
And after this process, which took about, it's probably like 2 years, because like 1 year was the preparation and the second year was actual building, creating and assembling the piece. And then we figure out that we are very close to each other. and we happen to be a good friends. So that was the beginning of the relationship with Marcel Soural, the owner of Tegeman. And we were, you know, drinking a lot for a while, and then we figured out that we would like to do more things together, and he came with the idea, let's do the architecture studio. So that was the beginning of the Black and Arc.
The other leading half of the Black and Arc studio, which has grown to include a team of a dozen architects, designers, and structural engineers, is urban designer and architect Tomasz Cizarz. He has a passion for spaceships and has always been drawn to futuristic projects, such as the works of Jan Kaplicki and the famous giant television transmitter by Karol Baczek atop Jeszczed Mountain in the shape of a rotating hyperboloid.
So there is some tradition from Baczek, if you know Jeszczed, like the iconic building, so that all this was a kind of very interesting community to join. So that's why I choose to go to Liberec to study. Liberec always, like the architecture there, was always connected with high tech, like 70s. The architects were passionate about the, like Jeszczed itself, it looks like spaceship. So that was one of the starting points why spaceships is my passion.
But not really robotics. Robotics came with David.
That's coming also with the vision of Marcel, the owner of Trigamma. He's pretty convinced that robotics and artificial intelligence will be the main theme of 21st century. And this is officially Education Robotics Center. And what we are showing is how we think it will happen very soon, that the robotic bartender will take place in restaurants and bars.
The status of this structure is as a temporary kind of installation rather than a building.
From the legal aspects, it's kiosk, educational and information kiosk about the robotics and the implementation in the real life.
At the Cyberdog Technology and Information Center, which, again, you could be forgiven for mistaking for a trendy wine bar, the mixologist is a German model. Not in the sense of a Heidi Klum or Claudia Schiffer, but rather an assembly line model from the firm KUKA Robotics, as Tomasz Cizarz explains.
This KUKA robot, usually you know this orange guys from factories, basically from automobile industry. So this is one of the first application, definitely here in Europe, as the first application of serving wine by robot.
This actual model here would normally be on the assembly line of an automobile factory, you mean?
I think in automobile factory, this guy will be used for interiors, basically for the... It's a quite small guy, if you look... We actually place the robot in the high of eye level of a person, that it looks like normal real bartender.
Oh, you keep saying guy, so it's a he.
It's a pretty good question. I call him he. It could be she herself, because if you look on the robot, David placed a couple of like small details which maybe will lead you to uncertainty if it's a he or her.
I see. So this kind of nuts and bolt.
Yes, actually you see two eyes which are a little bit spotting us, like one is on the arm, the second is on the neck. You see small human details, so it's like, I don't know how to call it this.
Armpit.
Yeah, he has an armpit, so it's a pretty armpit guy. Yeah, and you can spot a couple of those details around, which is a little bit hidden, so it's on you to discover those tweaks done by David and his team.
For example, the spiral staircase leading up to the head of the eponymous cyber dog, for some reason, not only features tiles molded from computer motherboards, but also sprouts of hair. Other human parts, some of a rather private nature, appear in unexpected places. For the benefit of listeners who may not get a chance to discover these subtle details for themselves, I asked David Czerny to reveal a few more. He was not particularly forthcoming on that front, but happy to discuss his greater vision.
I understand from your architect partner that there are a lot of little hidden aspects here, and you just pointed one out to me, which I hadn't noticed before, was just an eye, kind of out of middle of nowhere. And on this circular staircase here, there seems also to be hair.
There are actually, if you look at the robot, he has a little hair on himself, did you mention the trays with the balls? And a couple of, you basically have to search for the details.
Are you generally scared or interested, fascinated by the wave of automation coming? Because I understand that in part this is also kind of a look at what to expect.
Well, it's coming. Months ago I've been in Porsche factory in Stuttgart because some other things, and of course the robots are replacing mechanical work. It's going to happen because the robots are more precise. They don't cost that much. They don't complain, actually, that's good. So they don't pay social security and shit like that. And they, it's difficult to sexually harass them. Can you imagine, to sexually assault our bartender? It doesn't work.
Although there are still a few bugs in the system, Kuka, the robotic bartender, now reliably delivers the drinks and so-called galactic fare that customers of the wine bar, or rather patrons of the educational center, order via an app on smartphones using QR codes. Black & Ark Studio, with Trigema's financial backing, is looking at eventually establishing a small chain and has already been approached to take the CyberDog concept abroad. Where to, the partners won't say, but a version 2.0 is already in the works, at least on the drawing board. On the wish list is a rotating CyberDog head with a mouth that opens in the summer. But will there always be human staff? Architect Tomasz Cizarz again.
I think yes. From the security point of view, I think it's still very important that the staff is present, the humans. But we don't know, maybe in the future you will be alone with your buddy, your robot. I think when the haptic will come and will take a place, it will be more fun with the robots. Now, as you see, there is a protection grid around the robot. The only reason is the security reason. But as far as I know, now the engineers are working on some sensors that will avoid any clashes with the robot, so you will not need in the future those grids around the protection. And I think after that, your perception that it's real, like bartender, like the human, will be more stronger.
And in this version, so 2.0, 3.0, you imagine also adding some real AI where there would be some interaction?
I think we are not ready. I think we are not ready, but maybe version 12 will be with the human interface, with the artificial interface.
For the moment, though, human beings are still clearing the dishes and wine glasses from the tables, though you don't have to flag them down to get their attention. All it takes is a click on your smartphone to signal that your education, for the moment, is complete and you wish to pay.
And that was Brian Kennedy visiting CyberDog, Europe's first robotic wine bar located in Prague. If you have any comments about today's programme, then please send them to us. You can contact us by email at english@radio.cz or on Facebook and Twitter. We'll be glad to hear from you. But that's all from me now. Tom McEncroe, thank you very much for joining us, and goodbye.